place where religious people who wanted to hear the truth came. Where did he go? He went into a place where those people wouldn't have come to him. In that way, he came to them as he was in prison. And there they were as ones who were able to hear the gospel. Do you think it was worth it, as the Apostle Paul had had the beating in Philippi, and a Philippian jailer heard the truth as a result of him being in prison, and he and his household came to Christ? The point is, what we sometimes think is for our best is not for the best as far as the Lord is concerned. That sometimes it takes our suffering, it takes our affliction or our times of trouble to bring us in contact with the people that the Lord wants us to be in contact with. When we think about sometimes how it is that the gospel is spread or how it is that lives are used, do we recognize that if we go through a suffering and we live through that and we're able to deal with that, overcome that, how many people may we be faced with in our life who go through the same thing or something very similar? And now what can happen? God has prepared to use us to help them. From God's point of view, if I go through a certain suffering or affliction or trial, and it's just me, this one person that goes through that, and I'm able to overcome that, what happens when there are 10 people that are helped as a result of that? From God's broader view, is it worth it? Surely. And what we need to understand is, when we look at it in a myopic sense of just my concern and what I desire, many times we're overlooking the plan of God. We're overlooking what God would want to happen as a result of God's kingdom being increased and people being helped as a result of whatever it is that we go through. Let me give you an ultimate example of that. Job. Here Job is, and he's suffering. He's had the loss of his family, the loss of all of his substance. He goes through all of these difficulties, and Satan had thought that would surely bring him to curse God, and it didn't. So now he goes through all of these physical maladies, the boils that are there, and the terrible kind of suffering that was involved. And Satan thought surely he'll curse God at that point, and he did not. When Job wrestles with all through the book of Job, why did this happen? Do you realize God never gave him an answer? You and I know that it was not God who brought that affliction on him. Job didn't even know that much. His friends were telling him the reason that you're suffering is because of all of the evil you've done. They were wrong. But Job thought, well, maybe that's right. And he thought, why is it that God is doing this to me? And over he asked about that. You and I know a secret behind the scene that Job never was informed of, and that was, it wasn't God who did it in the first place. It was Satan who did that. Now when he asked, why is it, Lord, that this is happening, never in the word of God as given to Job did God ever give him a reason why. I thought about that, and I think I understand the reason why. If Job had been given an answer directly from God to no, then Job wouldn't be in the same place that you and I are when we suffer righteously, when we suffer doing that which is good. He would have been given an answer, here's my broader plan. And in that way, he would be different from you and I, but he's just like you and I. He never heard the answer, but still he came to the conclusion, whatever the reason, God is just, and I'll continue to serve him. The faith of Job is manifest not only in the sense of those statements of the fact that God exists and God's justice is there, but that they exist in the very midst of him airing the doubts. There's not a problem of Job sinning and airing his doubt. The fact is, the book of Job tells us he did not sin with his lips. I may have doubts. You may have doubts. In fact, I will and you will. That's a part of us as humanity. We don't understand because we're not those of infinite wisdom like God is. And therefore, when something happens and we cannot see the reason for it, we ask why. So did Job. But the fact is that Job continued to be faithful to the Lord. He committed his soul to him. He was ready to continue to serve, and he did not give up. When he couldn't answer the question, why was this so? What he did is he tried to figure out different reasons how this could be, even though God didn't tell him. How could it be that this happens and it's right in God's sight? That's much like what Abraham did. Abraham was told to go and offer up Isaac. What did Abraham do? Did he say, Lord, you told me this was the child of promise and now you want me to kill him? The Hebrew writer tells us that he thought, well, if the Lord could bring him into existence in the first place, to a mother and father as good as dead with regard to their ability to procreate, surely he could raise him from the dead. Doubt that is dealt with rightfully is doubt that looks for an answer for how God can be right. Because that fact that God is right is settled. That's what these characters did when God answered no. They understood the fact that God was right. And therefore, even if they didn't know what it was that was intended, they accepted that as for the better. When you look at James chapter 5 and in verse 11, there's a statement made very clearly that sums up that concept of why we have the book of Job, and I suggest to you these other cases as well. In James chapter 5 and verse 11, indeed we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and have seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. You know what you and I can get from a time of suffering that we don't realize why it's happening? You know what you and I can get from asking God and asking God and asking God and being given the answer no? And that is...